Hi, listening friend. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's September 24th, 2013. Tonight's the meet and greet at the Olive Garden restaurant. You're personally invited. I don't want any of you to miss out. But you say, but Mark, I'm alone and I don't want to sit at a table by myself. No problem. That's why I'm going to be there for you. I'll find a great news radio table of friendly other listeners and have you seated. I'll do the introductions. Everyone will get along because the great news radio listeners are the best people in the whole entire world. I can validate that because I know so many of our listeners, and it's going to be a fun gathering. We've done many of these in the past, and you'll feel accepted and welcomed. There's great food there. The environment will be exciting, and we'll have authors, artists, artisans. A number of people are going to bring their books or jewelry or paintings or watercolors, so you're going to be welcomed. It'll be entertaining and fun. I'll make sure it's fun. Good food, and Jason Hodges, the general manager at the Olive Garden restaurant, has said everyone will get $2.50 off their dinner entree. Basically, you purchase two dinner entrees, it's $5 off. So I'll work that to make sure everyone gets at least $2.50 off their meal. And also let me point out, this Saturday's our testimony and worship night. It's around the campfire here on my 8 acres in the woods, and it's going to be an unprecedented event. I just love that word. It's used so much with the media, but it's going to be a great event where God's going to be honored. Testimonies are going to be shared. There's going to be a fantastic time of worship by Debbie Phillips. She's just a great worship leader that's going to lead out with song, and it'll give us a time to sing and praise God. And then the three testimonies will be wonderful. So come on out. It's between 5:30 and 7:30. I'll have some desserts and beverages available for everyone. You can park right across the road from my house. There's a big, huge lot, I don't know, a couple acres or two, so we can get hundreds of cars there. There won't be anyone turned away because of space. I think I could probably get 1,000 people in my yard. So come on out, everyone. Enjoy a time of worshiping God at the Testimony and Worship Night. And if you need more information or directions, you can call the station at 217-367-7777, 217-367-7777, and I hope you'll make it. Now, yesterday we had Bill Allison on. He's with Cadre Ministries, a ministry that is just so used of God in so many different ways, helping make disciples, but not just making first-generational disciples, helping people disciple people so they can disciple people so they can disciple people so we can all be one with the good news message that God loves us. We can follow and model Christ to a hurting world. And we've had Bill on a number of times. And yesterday I had said, Bill, I know we won't have time this time to talk about an update on what God's doing in and through Cadre Ministries and the disciple making that you're doing. But today, we won't have time again either, so I'm going to have you back a third time down the road because we just started touching on biblical ways that we can encourage our pastor, and I think we only touched on one yesterday on praying for our pastor, and you've created this publication called Seven Biblical Ways God Wants You to Encourage Your Pastor, and we're going to have them available tonight at our meet and greet at the Olive Garden restaurant. But realizing that this morning's program does re-air in the evening, and some people won't be able to get out to the Olive Garden restaurant, we have a link at our website, greatnewsradio.org, on our Facebook page, and you can always call the station and Karen will email it to you so you can purchase copies. They're only $4, but if you come to the Olive Garden tonight, you don't have to pay any postage and handling, so they're just $4. Anyways, we want to talk some more because we want to encourage our pastor not only throughout the month of October with Appreciation Month, but all year long because they need to be encouraged because they're being poured out. There's so many demands placed on them. There's expectations that are off the charts that nobody could fulfill. I think you said yesterday there's like 16 categories or areas that everyone expects pastors to be proficient at, yet you would never have that in any other kind of career or job, maybe just two or three things you have to be good at. And so we want to encourage our pastors. We want to love on them. And one final thing I'll say before I sit back a little here, you've also created, I guess, a PDF, Leading When You Feel Like Quitting, kind of a resource for the pastor that might be a little discouraged, that might feel like, I'm giving up. This just isn't worth it. My family is a wreck. People aren't treating me or them properly. I'm just taxed. Do people not understand that my job never ends, that it's not just presenting a one-hour message? There might be 20, 30, 40 hours of preparation in for that message. There's hospital visits. There's all the church facilities that have to be cared for. There's staffing issues. I mean, I could spend a whole program just talking about all the things that people want pastors to be proficient in doing, and they don't realize, oh, wow, I guess I'm one of those people that isn't encouraging my pastor. I don't know how. So help us encourage our pastor and figure out ways to assist them in their ministry calling.
Well, it's funny, as you were talking, Mark, I was reminded of my father, who has never gone to church. But once my mom accepted Jesus, my mom and dad were divorced, she started taking me to church. And my dad had us on weekends every now and then, and he would pick us up at church. And I could see the wheels as a young boy. I could see the wheels turning in my dad's eyes one day when he picked me up from church. Again, he'd never been in church. But he said to me, man, now that would be a great job. And I said, what? And he said, pastoring a church, you only work 1 hour a week. And, you know, as funny as that is, I think there is that perception that that's the way it is. But I got to tell you something. After 35 years of rubbing shoulders with hundreds of pastoral friends, including Jason, I'd say the average pastor I know is way underpaid and never able to get a day or a time. You know, I mean, there's just so many demands on him. So that perception is blindly false. It is just so ridiculously false. And so, as I said yesterday in a conversation, that I think the churches do a really good job of explaining what they expect from their pastor, but I don't hardly know anybody that's saying to the church and people in the church what God expects of them in terms of encouraging their pastor. And we looked at prayer. God expects us to pray for our pastor. And we did yesterday also looked at a second way, which was to volunteer your time and talents, because when you use your spiritual gifts and you use your time to serve in the church, pastor is not doing it by himself. So that's huge. Today we got a bunch more, and we can just jump right in if you want. You want to do that?
Yeah, let's jump in.
And I will say, Jason was a little reluctant on the topic just because it could appear to be of self-interest, but it's not. I had to convince him, Jason, this is a topic that I want to discuss because I know you're a pastor, and I know you're not promoting this so that your congregation will get books and start treating you better, because you know your calling. You've been called of God to preach God's word, to divide it each and every week, and to care and love on these people. So I know your heart is totally right, but I know I need to know better ways to encourage you, and I want all of our listeners. I mean, I'm throwing down the gauntlet. Listeners, we got to honor and treat and care for and love on our pastors. I mean, it is so important. And I know firsthand just how taxing that position is. And I can't even tell you, Bill, how many times I've told Jason, I would never want your job. I mean,
right.
I just know what goes on. I've been a deacon. I've been an elder. I've served in a church. And I know how hard and demanding. And they're pouring their life out each and every week. And they're getting trampled on. And so I know how rough it is. And I thank God daily for the position I have with the radio listeners. They send in lovely mail. They send in money. Very few complaints. You know, I have Dr. Charles Stanley and all these radio pastors, but they're not the hands and feet and the guy that they're looking at. Hey, I don't like his haircut. Or, you know, they just hear him for a half hour and they only think great things about all these radio pastors, but they don't realize that they're just like everyone else and they have their foibles, their things that would bug them if you were in their church or whatever. And they're not always there for you. And, oh, he didn't say hi to me this morning. And so, but a pastor has all that hands-on time and kind of criticism and a critical spirit where somebody doesn't like the carpeting color or whatever it is. So help us learn how we can encourage and love on our pastors.
Well, I'm so encouraged by Great News Radio willing to wrestle these things, because the very things that we're wrestling on this broadcast and the previous one is what every pastor wants every person in their church to know, but probably won't tell them for fear that it will seem self-serving. Mm-hmm. And so this is why Great News Radio has to do this. This is why, as a cadre missionary, we've written the book, Seven Biblical Ways God Wants You to Encourage Your Pastor. And just to note, when I was asked by Jason in the church to come and do his installation at his church's senior pastor a number of years ago, I came, but I did not tell anybody what I was going to talk about, because I basically talked about how God wanted the church to encourage their pastors, and I handed every family in that church a copy of Seven Biblical Ways God Wants You to Encourage Your Pastor. I didn't ask because I didn't think anybody would let me do it. So I just, you know, I have this philosophy. It's easier to ask for forgiveness than it is permission.
Yes.
And sometimes that gets me into trouble, and sometimes that works. And I think that one was working.
Yeah.
So if you don't mind, we'll jump right in here. I think a third thing people who love God and love their pastors can do to encourage their pastors is to make sure that they're needs are met. And this means that they have financial needs. And I'm always amazed that the moment you mention money, wow, things crazy happen in church. I mean, it is, it's an interesting thing to talk about in churches. And yet the Bible is so clear about our responsibility to people who serve. I love in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 17 and 18, Paul instructs Timothy. He says, the elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor. And I don't care who you consult on that one as far as commentary goes. It's some form of financial support. Double honor includes that. And it says, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. And that's a couple of the things that we expect out of our pastors. And then he quotes an Old Testament passage by saying, do not muzzle the ox. And I'm not the one that brought ox to the equivalent of pastors. That was Paul. He says, do not muzzle the ox while it is treading out the grain, and the worker deserves his wages. And so I think it's not uncommon for churches to feel like, you know, the pastor shouldn't be paid a fair wage because they love Jesus. And because they love Jesus, we don't want them to get proud, or we don't want them to get sassy. So, you know, we're going to pay them less than normal or whatever it may be. I think sometimes there's this feeling of like, well, you're the pastor. You should have thought about that before you went into the ministry. And yet there's something chintzy and that is not of the Spirit of God. What I read in the Bible about giving and blessing others is this heart of generosity and this overflow. It says in 2 Corinthians, God loves a cheerful giver, someone who just enjoys so much blessing other people with generosity. And so I think one of the things that we've, and I think churches are getting better about this overall, but I think there is some hangover from times past where churches haven't cared for their pastors. And so one of the most important things I think I can say on this point is when you give, you don't give to a pastor, you don't give to a church, you don't give to a ministry, an organization. If giving is done right, it's always done to God. And so what I want to encourage people to do as they give, and their local churches and their ministries, they love the offerings that they give, the ministries that they love. But this is what I do. When I'm in my church and we put a check into the basket there that's going, I don't think, well, man, I'm paying for the lights and I'm paying for salaries, I'm paying for this or that. I don't like to play those little ecclesiastical money games that people play, redirecting funds away from the pastor because they're mad at them or whatever. That's immaturity. That is spiritual immaturity by every account. Friends, listen, when we give to God, and God will hold the ministry and the church accountable for judiciously stewarding that gift. But let's keep this clear. We give to God. Some of that money that we give to God goes to pay for pastors, their salaries, and their families. And as a general rule, I like to tell people, if your family likes to do something, your pastor families would like to do it as well. And so keep that in mind. And err on the side of generosity. We have a little saying in Cadre Ministries, seldom resist the urge to be generous.
Yeah, I would say that just as a pastor, knowing the financial stuff is probably one of the most stressful. And even the pastors that I know that are in my sphere, I mean, they dread when financial reports come across desks. They dread looking at giving numbers because it's something that people are going to tie us to. But it's something we really have no control over, and it's not something that we were hired to do. We weren't hired to be the church financial officer. I mean, when I look at the money stuff, I'm always like, oh, Lord, is it going to be – before I open the email, it's like the worst email I open up all week long where I'm like, Lord, is it going to be okay, or am I just going to cringe here?
Yeah, no, and I think that's another one of those things that 16 major areas that you have to be proficient in that oftentimes we're scared to death of. And for whatever reason, we weren't equipped to deal with, and it's not our favorite thing. But money is never the issue. It's always an indication of something. And it can be an indication of a heart that loves God through generosity, or it can be an indication of sinfulness by redirecting money away from the pastor's salary to something else because we just want to make our point about the pastor, we're mad at him, or whatever. And that's immaturity, and I think that's very common. And I think that's an indication of a person's spiritual immaturity. And I don't care how long they've been at the church or how long they've claimed to know Christ. You can grow old and not grow up.
Yeah, and the next one I see in this booklet, Bill, is probably one of the huge big-ticket ones. So I'm going to sit back and let you talk about this one. I don't want to say anything, but this next one is the grenade in the church.
It really is. The number four is refuse to gossip about your pastor. you know what the Bible says? It says in 1 Timothy 5:19, do not entertain an accusation against an elder unless it's brought by two or three witnesses. Don't you think the nature of pastoral leadership is that they have to preach the word? And sometimes there's people in the church who aren't living the word, and so there's this conviction. And so instead of getting mad at God, they get mad at the pastor. And so what happens is, instead of doing what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 18, 15 through 18, you know, going privately and discussing things and the matters of sin, a couple of things happen. First of all, they're mad at the pastor, not because he sinned, but because of a style issue, his way of preaching, some illustration he uses, whatever. There's style issues. And friends, if you're mad at your pastor about a style issue, I have to tell you, Colossians 3:13 comes into play, because you don't get to pick style. God's got all kinds of different styles out there. And Colossians 3:13 says, bear with one another. Oh, the Bible, it wrecks me. But if it's a sin issue, Matthew 18 comes into play. And so I think probably the biggest problem in any church I've ever been in is gossip. And for whatever reason, everybody talks about everybody else rather directly to the person and trying to solve the problem. But the Bible's very clear. And if you want to be a blessing, I'm going to tell you right now, at the end of this booklet, there is a covenant. And it lists all seven of these ways that we can encourage the pastor. And this one says, I refuse to listen or spread gossip about our pastors. And then there's a place to sign off on it. So this is the biggie, because this is what makes everything messy. It's already tough enough to do this work, but this is when it gets out of hand and out of control. And sometimes the emotional terrorist in a church who is the antagonist to the pastor tries to gain power in a church by spreading gossip. And God will call us all into his office to bring justice to this someday.
Boy, Bill, we're running out of time. We have three more, and I want to highlight to our listeners, you can pick up a copy of The Seven Biblical Ways God Wants You to Encourage Your Pastor at tonight's Meet and Greet at the Olive Garden Restaurant between 5 and 7 p.m. They're only $4, so bring a bunch of cash and buy multiple copies for your elders, your deacons, your friends, your neighbors. This is a great resource. We want to encourage our pastor. So try to fit in the last three.
We'll do it. You ready? I want to make sure that you don't think I'm only taking the pastor side on this, because I've known more than one pastor who's created his own problems. But here's the point. Number five is lovingly and privately correct your pastor. You don't have a board meeting about it. You don't stand up at a congregational meeting and air it out. You go one-on-one, like Jesus said in Matthew 18. That's what friends do. This is what friends do. They work it out. This is how marriages work. They work it out. Number six would be help your pastor to flourish at home. And let me give you just a statistic or two about this. 80% of believe that pastoral ministry has affected their marriages negatively. And 33% said that ministry is an outright hazard to their family life. So let me give you just a couple of ways the average person can bless the socks off their pastors and their families. I think, first of all, we need to make sure that our pastors take a full day off every week. Most pastors I know are crazy workaholics. And just one day off to be with their spouse or to be with their kids, I think, would help a lot. I think they need to take all their vacation days. I think the board of the church needs to make sure that they give them more than a week and make sure that all their vacation days are spent with their families, and be able to provide for them a place where they can go with their family would be a blessing, too. I like to see pastors out no more than three nights a week, especially if they have kids. Now, if they're at a different season of life, they might want to do more of that. They can do more nights out. But if they got kids, I just like to see them there. And I think churches need to talk to pastors about their time. You mentioned earlier, Mark, I think there's gift certificates. Listen, most people who serve in ministry, they are frugal to the core. And they'll get the $5 pizza rather than the great pizza. Get them a gift certificate. Get them something to you have a nice place. I mean, some classy joint that you love. Bless your pastor with something that he could do with his wife and kids at a nice place. I got tons more in the booklet, and you can see that. And then finally, I would just say, it's important that we understand Hebrews 13:17. Obey and submit to your pastor's leadership. Here's what the Bible says. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. To work well, we have to have humble, spiritual, Christ-like leadership in our pastors and our elders, and obedient, submissive followers. And I would ask each person listening to my voice to decide, are both of those in play? Because if only one of those is in play, that's where we get in trouble. and our pastors will not be encouraged. Man, I have such a passion for this, you guys, and thank you for making this happen. And I want to see churches become a place where pastors and their families flourish and the kingdom of God extends to the community and to the entire world.
From as a pastor, I hate to say this, but I think the issue of pastoral encouragement is so important, and I think some of the ways that we need to be encouraged are ways that we think encouragement is buying people stuff. We think encouragement is a kind note or that, but sometimes encouragement is obedience, because then we can be about God's work.
Just jump on that real quick. They did and this is in the booklet, and it's fascinating. They did a little research in a science laboratory, and they said, what if we put a rat in a jar of water and put him in complete darkness to see how long that rat will swim? And they turned out the lights, and within 3 minutes, there was no more movement in that jar because it was completely dark. But then they took another rat, did the exact same thing, put him in a jar of water to see how long he would swim, and they put this tiny little light beaming down into the jar. That rat swam for 36 hours. That's over 700 times longer. And this is what I would like to say to every listener. You are God's ray of light of an encouragement to your pastor. And it takes so little encouragement to get 700 times more out of your pastor. Because if you just obey and encourage and say a kind word and, you know, how can I pray for you, pastor, whatever, those little things go miles and miles and miles in the longevity of your pastor.
Well, this is a topic we'll continue to return to, and I would hope many of you listeners will come out to tonight's meet and greet at the Olive Garden restaurant between 5 and 7 p.m. Now, realizing that this program re-airs in the evening and it'll be too late for you to make it over, these copies can be purchased online. There's a link at our website. It's been produced by Cadre Ministries. The publication is called Seven Biblical Ways God Wants You to Encourage Your Pastor. Just $4 if you show up to the Olive Garden restaurant tonight between 5 and 7 p.m. And maybe we'll have some extra copies available for future meet and greets or some radio events. In fact, I'll have some available, Lord willing, for this Saturday's Testimony and Worship Night at the Homestead here. So that's another opportunity or occasion for you to pick this up. We want to be encouraging and praying for and serving and loving on our pastors. It's biblical. It would delight God for all of us to get better at it, and they deserve our trust, our obedience, and our involvement in their lives. And don't invite them out to dinner. Give them the gift card. Don't have them have to sit with you through dinner. Just let them be with their friends and family members. There's so many different ways. Don't have any strings attached. Let them do what they want to do when they want to do it. They love you. They show it each and every week by preaching to you, by tolerating you. I know we can all be difficult to hear God's conviction through their hearts, but their passion about loving God, dividing His Word, and let's learn to honor Him better. Hey, Bill, thanks so much for being available, and I appreciate the seven biblical ways God wants you to encourage your pastor. Again, they're available tonight at our meet and greet, and we'll have them available in the days ahead. Thanks, Bill.
God bless. Thank you.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.